Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. Exceptionally, Benedict XVI has written an article for the Financial Times, dated December the 20th, focusing on how Christmas is a time for Christians to engage with the world. It's an article which begins with the line, "Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." A line which relates to the Pope's most recent book on the infancy narratives, the third and final volume of his Jesus of Nazareth trilogy. In this programme, on a totally different note to the Pope's article in the Financial Times, our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, picks up on a passage in the infancy narratives. Father Foster, who was for many years and under many popes papal Latinist, speaks to us of the message of peace relating to the Roman Emperor Augustus, who reigned at the time of the birth of Jesus, but also precisely on the words Jesus addressed to Tiberius, the Roman Emperor to succeed Augustus. The words at the beginning of the Pope's article, "Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." On page 77, then, the Pope highlights the idea that at the heart of messages of peace, the Pax Christi is not necessarily opposed to the Pax Augusti, specifying that the peace of Christ surpasses the peace of Augustus.
Oh, I think I read that then. That was in the newspaper I read yesterday.
As heaven surpasses earth.
Peace.
Can you explain the Pax Augusti, which refers to Augustus?
Yes. Well, that would be political peace, because Augustus went around the world in 14 and found that the whole world was really pacified under Roman rule, of course, and there were no wars going on, and that's why you have the Ara Pacis in Rome along the Tiber there, over got it, across the street from Augustus's tomb, and that altar was built after Augustus reviewed the whole world and found the whole world was in peace. But that was political and military peace. They would say Pax Christi, of course, is going to be a little of a different nature, moral peace or human peace or interior peace. It's a different kind of a system.
So when Jesus was born, Augustus was emperor, no?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of an emperor was Augustus?
He was one of the best ever. I mean, a gift to the world, and for a long time. Well, 31, 14, almost like 50 years. He was the emperor of Rome and organized the thing. He stopped the civil wars, and there was a lot of justice. He was very wise, a young man. He was very wise and a good person. He was really a good person, there's no doubt about it. And so it was really a golden age that Virgil talked about in his fourth Eclogue.
What did Virgil say about him in Latin?
Well, that's the famous Sicili Desmuse Paolo Maiora Canamus, his fourth Eclogue on the coming of the Messiah. And that was written, of course, that was written actually before the B.C., but it's the same age where the world was waiting for the end of wars and for a golden age, and really Augustus just happened to be right there at that time. So it was really a beautiful time. That's what even Luke says when, you know, the reign of Augustus and everything else, and that was the Pax Romana.
So where does the Pax Romana fit in with the Pax Christi and the Pax Augusti?
Well, it was Christi. It was the Pax Christi that was born into the Pax Romana. And a lot of people would say, even to this day, that without the peace of Augustus, Christianity would have had quite a greater difficulty, because there was communication all over the world. There weren't disruptions, terrible disruptions, really, for maybe, let's say 200 years. Things were quiet around the Mediterranean, and Christianity just flourished in there. Had there been civil wars all over the place, things would have been much more difficult. So a lot of people say it was providential that the Romans organized the world, and then Christ came on and put this topping on the Roman peace.
Say that sentence in Latin.
Cum laudet Christus pace sua ipsam Augusti pacem. It et pacatum orbem Christus regebat. Christ was ruling the world pacatum of Romanus, the world having been pacified by the Romans. So it was very, very nice. Christians just capitalized on Roman peace, there's no doubt about it.
So basically, the topping, you didn't say the word topping, a cherry on the cake.
I said cum laude. If you look in your dictionaries, cum laude means to top the, accumulate, to put the top on the top of the hill. So you'd say, Pax Christi, pacem Romanam, cum lavit. Put the topping on the hill of the Roman peace. There's a word, put the topping. We have all those words that are much better in Latin.
Listen, if someone asked you to translate the Pope's book into Latin, would you like to do that?
Yeah, it would be easy. There would be no problem there. Because I imagine there's not great philosophy there, but kind of a meditation on the infancy of Christ. Oh, that would be a delight. You could recite the thing. I would just recite it. I dictate the whole book. You could do that over the weekend.
Basically,
one's going to do that, but you have too many books already.
Well, basically, it's what Matthew and Luke say about Jesus' infancy.
Yeah. The infancy narrative, certainly.
If you had to send a message to the Emperor Augustus for this Good. Christmas.
What would I say?
Yeah, in Latin.
Fox in D, a florescas, et vigescas in perpetuum. May the gods bring it about that you blossom and are vigorous forever.
Okay, I have a suggestion. Who were the emperors when Jesus was alive?
Well, that's the thing. It was Augustus and then it was Tiberius. And that's why, even no matter how you figure it out, because Tiberius ended up in 37 A.D., which means Jesus wasn't there anymore. So he was born under Augustus, that was a long reign, and then from 14 to 37, which is 23 years, is Tiberius. And I also mentioned when Jesus said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, got it, and to God the things that are God, he was talking about the Emperor Tiberius. No matter how you calculate it, it must be the Emperor Tiberius, who at that time was more or less out of his mind and crazy raving, kind of an idiot, in Capri, on his mountain villa in Capri. For the last, I think, 9 years of his reign, he never even came back to Rome. So Jesus is still saying, give to Caesar, and we would understand this mad, raving Tiberius, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
How do you say that? And give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's?
As in, redite Caesari quaestum Caesaris, et Dei, et Deo Dei. Give the thing to Caesar, Caesari, quae sunt Caesaris, which are Caesar, et Deo, quae sunt Dei, and to God the things that are of God. But the fact that he was talking about kind of a crazy Tiberius is rather interesting. When St. Paul says, let's pray for the king, you know, and the emperor, well, he was talking about Nero. And Nero was crazy too, but in spite of that, St. Paul says, let's pray for the ruler, the king, the emperor, what he called him, and no matter how you want to calculate that, you're talking about Nero. After Claudius, from 54 to 68 for 14 years, and St. Paul is going to come right in that period in there, and still he says, you know, I know precomini pro rege, he says for the king. There was only one king in the world in those days. Precomini pro rege, eusque salute. And for his well-being, I forget St. Paul's quote there.
Okay, Twitter a message to Tiberius before he got mad and retired to Capri.
Tiberius, utinam Augusti Imperatoris Concilia propositaque ipse tu prosequaris. May you continue the ideas and the proposals of Augustus.
And the warmest of thanks there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who's currently teaching in the United States, but was for many years papal Latinist, serving under many popes. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.